Dear friends, in this last 15-minute segment for this week, I will teach on Satan orchestrates the world system. Then I will conclude this study of the biblical principles concerning government. Sometime long ago, Satan rebelled against God, thereby introducing sin to the world. Isaiah 14:12-17 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" If you read over that, notice Satan's five I wills. His I will in Isaiah 14:13 marks the introduction of sin into the universe. Cast out of heaven, as we see in Luke 10:18, he makes earth and air the scene of his tireless activity. Ephesians 2:2, 1 Peter 5:8. After the creation of man, he entered into the serpent, and, beguiling Eve by his subtlety, secured the downfall of Adam, and through him of the race, and the entrance of sin into the world of men. Romans 5:12-14. Satan seduced Eve with the same temptation whereby he was tempted. "I will be like the Most High," he said to Eve in Genesis 3:5. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Since that day, Satan has been the god of this world. But the Adamic covenant promised the ultimate destruction of Satan through the seed of the woman. Then began his long warfare against the work of God in behalf of humanity, which still continues. The present world system, Revelations 13:8, organized upon the principle of force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and sinful pleasure, is his work and was the bribe which he offered to Christ. Matthew 4:8-9. Of that world system he is the prince. John 14:30, John 16:11, and God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. As prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, he is at the head of a vast host of demons. To him, under God, was committed upon the earth the power of death, Hebrews 2:14. Cast out of heaven as his proper sphere and first estate, he still has access to God as the accuser of the brethren, Revelations 12:10, and is permitted a certain power of sifting or testing the self-confident and carnal among believers, Job 1:6-11, Luke 22:31-32, 1 Corinthians 5:5, 1 Timothy 1:20. But this is strictly permissive and limited power, and believers so sifted are kept in faith through the advocacy of Christ. Luke 22:31-32. At the beginning of the Great Tribulation, Satan's privilege of access to God as accuser will be withdrawn. Revelation 12:7-12. At the return of Christ in glory, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, Revelation 22, after which he will be loosed for a little season, Revelation 23:7-8, and he will become the head of a final effort to overthrow the kingdom. Defeated in this, he will be finally cast into the lake of fire, his final doom. The notion that he reigns in hell is Miltonic, not biblical. He is the prince of this present world system, but will be tormented in the lake of fire. Men, except for the remnant and nations, always choose the principles of Satan over the principles of God. And men and nations will always suffer the consequences. Cosmos, translated world in Revelation 13:8, in the sense of the present world system, the ethically bad sense of the word, refers to the order, arrangement, under which Satan has organized the world of unbelieving mankind upon his cosmic principles of force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and pleasure. Matthew 4:8-9 says, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him, that is Jesus Christ, all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In John 12:31, we find that Jesus said, Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. In John 14:30, Jesus said, Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. In John 18:36, we find, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Ephesians 2:2 reads, Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 4:3 goes on to say, Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 6:12 says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm now going to make some concluding remarks at the end of this study of the biblical principles of government. Salvation is the beginning of a new life. After salvation, one's purpose is to glorify God. Jesus said to Peter, who rebuked him for speaking of his coming sufferings and death at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, as we read in Matthew 16:23-27. Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Hope begins with the individual, with self-government. A saved individual has hope. He has rejected sin and Satan and his rule and turned to Christ and his principles. One who is saved, continues in God's word, and seeks to live according to biblical principles has the promise of persecution while on this earth. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Most Christians forget that although every saved person will go to heaven, there they will still be rewarded according to their works. Matthew 3:11-15 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A church, a family, or a nation made up of Christians, that is, those who are saved and follow the principles of God, has hope. Peter makes clear he will keep his brethren in remembrance that a Christian needs certain things to prevent himself from being barren and unfruitful and to keep himself from falling. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. 2 Peter 1:3-13. God would have us exercise these qualities in all things. 2 Peter 1:3-4 says, According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All things includes all principles of the Word of God. The doctrines of church, state, and separation of church and state are therefore to be studied diligently and applied by the Christian. Unfortunately, most Christians are deficient, especially in knowledge. The principle of Hosea 4, verses 6 through 19, concerning rejection of knowledge and the inevitable consequences thereof, although directed immediately to the children of Israel, is also a general principle which applies to believers today. Sadly, in any nation, the lost and the saved who are not seeking to follow God's principles always outnumber Christians, at least in the long run. As a result, no civil government has ever been under God for any length of time, and every civil government has been or will be judged by God before He sets up His kingdom. Did God give us all the principles people need for success as individuals, as families, and as nations, knowing that we would always ultimately fail? The answer is yes. He knew it from the beginning. He knew we would totally destroy ourselves, even with all His wisdom at our disposal. He knew that we would ultimately totally reject all His wisdom, statutes, and commandments. And along the way, He knew that no one, at any time, would ever fully comprehend God and God's ways. He knew man would blow it. Yet, because of His love, He sent His own Son to pay the price for our monstrous sins. He gave each and every person a way out. That way was not oneself, not one's conscience, not one's family, not one's virtue, not one's good deeds, not one's church membership, not one's baptism, not one's civil government. That way out was His Son, period. That completes this study of the biblical principles of government. These studies are all necessary to completely understand the issue of separation of church and state, to understand why a church should not incorporate, get a 501c3, become a legal entity in any way. If you'll continue to listen, you'll begin to understand these issues from God's point of view. I want to read something from a scholar. He says that the classic position is this: man is disturbed by the question of the ground. By nature, he is a questioner and seeker for the whence, the whereto, and the why of his existence. He will raise the question, why is there something? Why not nothing? In other words, the classic position is, man wants to understand his existence, why he's here, and so forth. However, he continues on the modern position. The modern position is this: such questions are futile. Do not ask them. Be a socialist man. Questions to which the scientific study of world immanent things can give no answer are senseless. They are, to quote him, neo-positivism. If you insist on asking such questions, your intelligence must be wanting. Let me say this. That is the state of most Christians. They don't want to know why. They don't even know to ask the questions. They don't understand why they should ask the questions. They have been Americanized. Even though they might be saved, their minds have been destroyed by the educational system in America. And so most of our churches have become little businesses that cater to the self-indulgence of those who flock there. They may not even be churches anymore. I can't make the call. Jesus Christ makes the call. But He gives us His word that we can look at and see what we are doing. The apostasy spoken of concerning God's churches in the New Testament is here. Let me encourage you, for example, to read the book of 2 Timothy concerning that apostasy and what we're supposed to do during that apostasy. Again, let me remind you, if you're enjoying these programs, to go to www.lwrn.net and make a contribution to support the Liberty Works Radio Network. All those contributions go to Liberty Works, not to me. These radio broadcasts are being archived on the website churchandstatelaw.com. There you'll find many other resources. I'll be back next week, same time, same place.